Okay, Tov, good morning. Today's daf is daf Lamed Zayin, daf 37. We left off at the Mishnah on 36b. Today's class will be for the Refu'ah Shlema of all the Cholim. Ubichlalam Chemda, Baruch Hu HaKadoshan, Elamechon, Mekomen, Yifras, Arab Anonir, Shalom, Metzarat, David Ben Achel. Yafa ba devar rifka ba dacha rifka ba deser shalom ezar farim enam shem nechana yafa ba nirmiyam yavidam en yafa chaya sabr simchan rech vechana simchan bemakam eram en achaz ezem enam chena leno ba dnum rechana sabr tamar sabr chana gam rekidu ba merachan dan metzen shkham lani yachadom ba tamar לשוב הנתן מן הנפה יוסף בן דמר שבן שבן חנינה יוסף בן יפה דניה מדינה שמחה בן יפה מדינה מגדים כבן דייה כבן שבגדלו כדלו עדינה בגד מרים כבן יושב בן יחמה חנה מלך קמבה דסטר רם של ממשם שזה מנחם דוד הריה בן רבקה ולהבדיל ונשמע דוד בן יאו בנימין בן יצחק ליד דנה בן אפרים שבן משלם בן יאו מלכה בתן בועז בן אברהם דינה בת אהרון תמה ברכה בת אברהם יום טוב בן יוסף ולהבדיל הריון דברה בת מרים. Okay, we are beginning. We're at the Mishnah on 36b, Lamed Vav Amud Bet. Mishnah begins. Ve'elu hen, right? We had the first Mishnah in the Perek was talking about the women that do receive a fine for being violated. Now this Mishnah starts out, Ve'elu she'ein lahen knas. These are the women that do not receive a fine. Haba le giyoret, a woman who's a man asleep, violates a convert. Vala shevuya, or a captive. Vala shivcha, or a maidservant. Shenifdu, shenigaru, shenishtacharu. Were redeemed or converted or freed, yeterot al benot shal shanim v'yom echad, above the age of 3 years and 1 day. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, shevuya shenifdet, arehi b'kedushata. He says, no, a captive that was redeemed is still considered in our kedusha. We don't think that she was violated. Af al pi shegedola, even though she is now an adult. So the Gemara then continues, the Mishnah then continues and says, habal bito, a man who sleeps with his daughter, al bat bito, his granddaughter, al bat beno, his granddaughter from his son, albat ishto, his wife's daughter, albat bena, his wife's son's daughter, albat bita, wife's daughter's daughter, en lehek knas, all of these women do not receive a fine, because the man becomes liable to death for sleeping with any of these women, shemitatan bidei beit din, the beit din will put him to death, and we know, v'kol amecha mitchayev lenafsho, im mishalem amon, anybody who does an act that simultaneously becomes liable to death and mamon, we would only give him the death penalty. Shneimar, the pasuk over here brings down, ve'im lo yeh ason, if there's no fatality, meaning if the person was not killed, then anosh yeanesh, only then we would give the monetary fine. So he's bringing a pasuk over here sounding like, from here we learn out that if someone has two punishments and he violates one time, that we only give him the stricter punishment. We know we're going to learn it from somewhere else, and the Gemara will actually talk about it. The Gemara comes and says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Dosa amru davar echad. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Dosa said the same thing. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda had amaran. Rabbi Yehuda, we saw in our Mishnah, he said about the captive that she stays with her kedusha. Rabbi Dosa says, Detanya, the Baraita says, Shivuya ochele b'churma. If you have a captive who's a daughter of a Kohen, Rashi says, she can eat teruma. Divrei Rabbi Dosa, these are the words of Rabbi Dosa. We don't assume that she was violated. So you see, they're saying the same thing. Amar Rabbi Dosa, Echima asa la aravi halaz. What did this Arab who took her, the captor, what did he do to her? So he didn't do anything, right? What? Because he was touching her breasts, that makes her pasul to the kehuna? No, he's just taking her in order to, you know, play around, mess around with her, but he's not going to do anything to make her pasul to the kohen, to the kehuna. Amar Rabba, dil malohi. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Dosa are really not saying the same thing. Ad kan loka amar Rabbi Yehuda acha. Really, Rabbi Yehuda until this point has only said, Ela shelo yechote niskar. What was his opinion in the Mishnah? We don't want the sinner who violated her to merit. We don't want him to benefit. So we say that no, he doesn't. So we say that he has to pay a fine if he violates a captive. Aval hatam. But in the case that you brought, Rabbi Dosa brought, in the case of the truma, maybe over there hatam ke rabbanan svirale. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda holds like rabbanan. What is the opinion of rabbanan? So in Masechet Eduyot, if I remember correctly, there's a machloket between Rabbi Dosa and the rabbanan. Rabbi Dosa was the opinion we just saw. The rabbanan disagrees with him, and they say there are sometimes a captive who's a daughter of a kohen that she can eat the teruma, and sometimes she cannot eat the teruma. When would that be the case? So Rashi explains, if there are no witnesses and she comes and says, I was taken captive, but I am pure, we believe her and she can eat truma. If there were witnesses who says, no, she was taken captive, and she says she's pure, she doesn't have migo anymore, and so therefore we wouldn't believe her. So that's, maybe he holds like Rabbanan, or Inami, maybe we can say another answer to show that they're a different opinion. Adkan lo kamar Rabbi Dosa hatam. Really, Rabbi Dosa was only saying in the case of teruma, ela b'truma derabanan. By the case of truma, that nowadays it is only derabanan. Right? Because even, let's say she was slept with, the way Rashi explains it, it's only violating a rabbinic prohibition. So the Chachamim did not make a gezerah. Aval knas, but to remove a fine from someone, deoraita, it is from Torah law to remove a fine from someone, and karabbanan svira lai. So maybe over there, he would hold like the rabbanan, and so maybe he would not necessarily agree with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that you would remove the fine from the man who violated the captive. So really it could be that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Dosa do not agree with one another. Amar le Abaye. Abaye says, "V'ta'amed Rabbi Yehuda, hacha, shlo yechoten iskarhu." Is the reason for Rabbi Yehuda so that the one who sinned should not merit, should not get reward? V'hatanya, we have a beraita. Rabbi Yehuda omer, "Shivuya shenishbet, harei b'kedushata." If a woman was captive, she was taken captive and then she became redeemed. We say she stays in her kedusha. Afilu bat eser shanim, even if she's 10 years old. The ketubah stays as 200 zuz. So what do you see from there? The Gemara says, what case can you make over there that we don't want the sinner to benefit? What sinner? She's marrying another person afterwards. She has a ketubah of 200. What sinner? She's not, right? There's no benefit for the sinner. So why would Rabbi Yehuda's reasoning be that we say she stays in her kedushas because we don't want the guy to benefit? It's clear there's no problem. There's no sinner over here for him to benefit. So the Gemara says, Hatam Nami over there maybe too. Dilma mimna'e velo nasvila. Maybe if we, let's say we made the ketubah only 100 zuz, thinking that really she's not a virgin, then maybe people would distance themselves and not marry her. So therefore we make the ketubah 200 zuz in order for people to still find, you know, favor, for her to find favor in people's eyes. Okay? The Gemara continues and says, V'savar Rabbi Yehuda b'kedushata kaima. Does Rabbi Yehuda really hold it? This woman who was taken captive, she stays in her kedusha. V'atanya v'ebaraita. The baraita says, Hapodeta shavuya. If a person redeems a captive, Yisaena, he can marry her. But Me'idba, if he testified about her, Lo Yisaena, he cannot marry her. If he testified that she was pure, he can't marry her. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Benkach, Benkach, Lo Yisaena. You see that Rabbi Yehuda says, regardless, you should not marry her. What does that sound like? The woman who was taken captive does not stand with her Kedusha. So the Gemara is going to come to explain his opinion. Before we do that, there's a little contradiction here in the Beraita. Ha Gufa Kashya. We have a difficulty itself. Amar, you said, Hapodet HaShavuya Yisaena. Someone redeems a captive, he can marry her. Right, we're talking about a Kohen, obviously. V'hadartana, and then afterwards it taught, Me'idba, if he testified about her, Lo Yisaena, he cannot marry her. So the Gemara says, it doesn't make any sense. Mishum de Me'idba Lo Yisaena, what? If he's doing more, and he's saying, I'm going to testify that she didn't do anything, now I can't marry her anymore, why not? I'm showing that she's pure. So the Gemara says, that's not difficult. Achika Amar. This is what was meant to say. Hapodet Ashivuya. If someone redeems a captive, Ume'idba, and testifies about her, Yisaena. He can marry her. Right? Again, we're talking about a Kohen. If he testified. So we're rearranging the Beraita. Me'idba, Kedi, if he just testified about her alone, for no reason, he just wanted to testify to her. Why? Because he really wanted to marry her. He had his eyes on her. So Lo Yisaena, in that case, he cannot marry her because we're afraid that maybe he's lying. So if he redeemed her and he's testifying that she's pure, no problem. At the end, he decides he wants to marry her, he can continue. If he's testifying in order to marry her, that's problematic. The Gemara says, but let's go back to our kushya. We had a difficulty on Rabbi Yehuda. We said Rabbi Yehuda said, "Mikol makom kashya Rabbi Yehuda." It's difficult on the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda because at first Rabbi Yehuda said that the woman stays with her kedusha. Then he said, "Don't marry her, regardless." So how does that make sense? Amar Papa, let's give a few answers. Ema Rabbi Yehuda Omer Benkach Benkach Yisaena. Rav Papa says no. Swap the answer. It's not that Rabbi Yehuda says don't marry her. Rabbi Yehuda says regardless you can marry her, and so therefore it's proving that Rabbi Yehuda holds that she stays with her kedusha. Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua Omer Leolam Kedekatane. Really, it's the way we taught. Really, Rabbi Yehuda says don't marry her. And what was he saying? Rabbi Yehuda lidivrehem derabanan kamar lekum. Rabbi Yehuda was saying to the opinion of the Rabbanan. He's saying, ledidi, according to me, benkach uvenkach yisaena. Regardless, you can marry the captive. We trust that she is still with her kedusha. Ela ledidcho, but according to you, Rabbanan, It should say that regardless, you cannot marry her. What did the Rabbanan say? If he testified, that's one thing. Meaning if he came and redeemed her and testified, that's one thing. If he just testified to marry her, that's another. That's not allowed. Right? Why didn't it say, regardless, you're not allowed? That's what it should have said according to the opinion of Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, V'Rabbanan, apodet ha-shivuya u'me'id ba'isena. The Rabbanan hold of the opinion that someone who redeems the captive and testifies that she's tehora, they can marry her. Lo shadi inish zuze bichdi. A person is not going to throw their money away for no reason. Meaning, a person who goes to redeem a captive has to pay the ransom. So he's not going to throw his money into the garbage. So for sure he's doing it for a reason. But me'id ba kedi, if he just testifies about her for no other reason, but to marry her, lo yisa'ena, then he cannot marry her. Shema enav natan ba. Right then, because maybe we're afraid that really he's putting his eyes on her to marry her, and maybe she slept with someone, and he's a kohen, and therefore she would be asur to him. Rami leir papa bar Shmuel le Rav Yosef. He has a contradiction on Rav Yosef. V'savar Rabbi Yehuda. Again, we ask, Rabbi Yehuda holds b'kedushata ka'ima, that this captive, she stays with her kedusha. V'atanya, we have a baraita about a giyoret, about a convert. A giyoret shenitgara, if a convert converts, v'ra'ata dam, and she sees blood. So Rabbi Yehuda omer, daya sha'ata. Rabbi Yehuda says it's enough for her just to wait at that moment, to hold a status of tumat, that moment when she sees blood. Meaning there's a big machloket if you have to go retroactively, me'et le'et, 24 hours back from the last, from 24 hours, me'et le'et, from when she saw the dam, or you have to go from the last time she examined herself, she checked herself to see if she had blood, to be metameh, to say everything she touched until that point, that would be tameh, right? Rashi says, Letameh taharot shenaga behen mishat tevila ad shat re'iya, right? To metameh any taharot that she touched from the time of tevila until the time of re'iya. But that's only by a regular woman. Rabbi Yehuda is saying that does not apply by a giyoret. A giyoret would not have that phrase. She wouldn't go retroactively, only forward. Okay? Rabbi Yosef says, "Hare he be kekol hanashim." No, Rabbi Yosef says she's like any other woman. Umetama meet laed, and she does make things tameh from 24 hours back. Umepkida lepkida, and from one examination to the next. So really, he holds that she is the same as any other woman. Utsricha lehamtin shlosha chodashim dvrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says this woman is a giyoret. She needs to wait 3 months before remarrying. Why? To be able to mavchin ben zera lekodesh lezera lokadosh. You want to be able to distinguish between a kadosh, maybe she slept with someone before she converted, so you want to make sure she's not pregnant from a non-Jew or something of the like, and be able to distinguish and know who the father will be, to wait 3 months. Okay? Rabbi Yosef matir le'ares v'neinaseh miyad. Rabbi Yosef says, no, you don't have to wait at all, and the Gemara will explain his opinion. So, what are we proving from here? Rabbi Yehuda is saying that this convert has to wait 3 months. Why? She's not under Kedusha. So what are we saying? He's trying to say a captive is the same thing. Captive is also not under Kedusha. It's a contradiction. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? Amar le giyoret ashvuya karamit? Are you comparing a convert to a captive? They're two completely different people. Why are you comparing one to another? Giyoret lo menatera nafsha. A convert does not protect herself, and so therefore we worry about a convert. Whereas Shavuya, a captive, Minatera Nafsha, does protect herself, and she would not get violated. So the Gemara says, Virami Shavuya, Shavuya. Why don't we compare and contrast a captive on another captive? The Tanya, the Braita says, Hagiyoret Vashvuya Vashivcha. These three women, Shenifdu, Shenitgaru, Shenchararu, were redeemed, or converted, or were freed. Yeterot al benot shalosh shanim yamechad, above the age of 3 and 1 day. Shirchot la'amtin shalosh chodashim tirei Rabbi Yehuda. They have to wait 3 months before they remarry. So you see, even a captive has to wait 3 months. Clearly, she's not in her kedusha. Rabbi Yosef matir le'ares v'dinaseh miyad. Rabbi Yosef says they're allowed to get married right away. So what do you see? He brought this contradiction to back to Rabbi Yosef, saying we have a contradiction on a captive on Rabbi Yehuda's case. So ishtik, Rabbi Yosef stayed silent. He didn't have an answer. Amar le midi shmiya nachpeha. So then he asked Rav Papa. He said, did you ever hear an answer on this question you're asking? So he said, Amar le, achi amar sheshat. I guess he was playing with him. He had the answer, and he was testing him to see if he knew the answer. So he said, this is what Rav Sheshat said. Shira'uwa shenib'ala. What are we talking about? In this case that we say that the captive has to wait 3 months, they saw her, witnesses saw her sleep with someone. So that's why we say she has to wait. But if let's say we don't see her sleep with someone, then we don't assume she was violated. So Gemara says, Ihachi, if that's the case, My Tama Rabbi Yossi. Why does Rabbi Yossi say she can get engaged and married right away? If she just slept with someone, we need to know who the father is. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabba, Kasavar Rabbi Yossi, Isha Mizdana Meshameshet B'moch Shelo Titaver. Rabbi Yossi holds that a woman who sleeps around, she takes her cloth, and she cleans out her inside in order, I guess they could do this back then, I don't know if this is still applicable today, to clean her inside with a moch, in order so that she does not get pregnant, so the semen does not stick. So the Gemara says, Bishlama ki ore, it makes sense, a convert, kivan didata leigure, since she is converting, minatera nafsha, she's going to protect herself, because she says, I'm about to convert. Shivu yanami, also a captive, deluyada hecha mamtula. She doesn't know where they're taking her. Maybe they're going to take her to a place where there's Jews and a jewel redeemer, or a ransomer. Shivcha nami, also a maidservant, deshamami pibmara. That, what does she hear? She hears from her master that, hey, I'm going to let you go free in a few months. So she sees a future, so she's not going to be mizana. Whereas, ela yotza b'shen v'ayin, a woman who only goes free from her slavery, if let's say she gets a tooth knocked out or an eye knocked out, what are you going to say there? She doesn't think that she's going to be redeemed or let go soon. So she's not prepared with a cloth to clean herself. So what would Rabbi Yose say over there? So the Gemara says, V'chi tema. Maybe we would say, Kol mimela lo amar Rabbi Yose. Rabbi Yose wasn't talking about unplanned situations. He was only talking about situations that you plan. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, Hare anusa umifute. We know the case of a raper or a seducer, the mimela, it is unplanned, it's not planned over there. And still, what do we say? V'tanya anusa mufutet, tzirchot amdim gimel chodashim, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says they have to wait 3 months after that. Rabbi Yose metir la'ares v'dinaseh miyad. Rabbi Yose says they do not have to wait. Why? Sounds like the same reasoning, that a woman will take a moch and clean her inside so that she doesn't get pregnant. But over here, someone's getting raped, so they're not prepared for that. So the Gemara says, Ela Amar Abba, Ela Amar Abba, Kasavar Rabbi Yose holds, Isha Mizana Mitapechet Kedesh Lo Titaber. No, a woman who sleeps around, she doesn't clean herself, she flips around, they had this way, they would flip their bodies around, in order for the semen not to stick, and so therefore they wouldn't get pregnant. So Rabbi Yose says, this works in any case. Ve'idach, okay, what does Rabbi Yehuda say? So he says, "Chayshinan shema lo nefa yafe yafe." We're afraid. Why are we afraid? We're afraid that maybe she didn't flip properly, and so therefore, we wouldn't assume that she's allowed to get married right away. We tell her you have to wait 3 months because we don't know if she really flipped properly and she's not pregnant. So therefore, we wait to make sure that she's not pregnant. Then we said in our Mishnah that from the pasuk of Shneemar, velo yason anoshi anesh. If there is no fatality, if someone did not get killed, then we give the fine of payment. So the Gemara says, "V'ha me'acha nafka." We learn this rule from here. Mehatam nafka. We learn it from a different pasuk altogether. It says in the pasuk, "Kedei rishato," for one's evil act. Mishum risha achat eta mechayvo, v'yata mechayvo mishum shtei rishayot. We only make someone liable for an act, for one punishment for the act. If let's say he becomes liable to two punishments by one violation, we give him one punishment. We give him the stricter one, right? Kim leib deraba mine. So it's from this pasuk, not from that pasuk that you brought. So the Gemara says, "Chada b'mita umamon, chada b'malkut umamon." The second pasuk, the first pasuk that we brought, "Lo yason," that's referring to if there's a death penalty and there is mamon, there's a monetary penalty. The second pasuk, "Kaderi shato," is talking about if there's a malkut lashes penalty and a mamon penalty, two different things, and we need both of them. Utsricha, why do we need both? Di ashmain and mita umamon. If we would have only said the case of death and monetary, mishum de'ika ibud neshama, because there is someone losing a soul, right? So maybe over there, since someone's losing their life, we would say, okay, they don't have to pay the fine. Aval malkutu mamon, but someone is getting lashes and has to pay, the leika ibud neshama, they're not losing the life, emalo, maybe I would have thought to say that they would still have to pay the fine. So that's why we had to say that, no, they don't pay the fine. V'yashmin and malkutu mamon, and if we would have only said the case of lashes and monetary law, mishum delo chamir isure, because someone who violates something that is only liable to lashes and mamon, it's not such a big isur, it's not such a big violation. So therefore, that's why in that case, we would say that they don't have to pay, because hey, he didn't do something so bad, so only give him malkut, right? But aval mitau mamon, but someone who violates something that is liable to both death and the fine, the chamir isure, it's such a big violation, Ema lo. I would have thought that no. We would say that the murder, the putting him to death, does not exempt him from the fine. He has to pay both. He has to do both tzricha. That's why we need both cases to teach us that no. If you have two punishments, you only get the stricter of the two. The Gemara then says, Ule Rabbi Meir, according to Rabbi Meir, who said, Damar lokeu mishalem. He says, you actually do get two punishments. You get malkut, and you have to pay. So, Tarte Lamali, why do we need two psukim according to the opinion of Rabbi Meir? So the Gemara says, Chada b'mita u'mamon, v'chada b'mita u'malkut. Really, we're flipping it around. One pasuk, the pasuk of Lo Ye'ason, is talking about if someone has a liability to death and mamon. The next pasuk, Kederi Shato, is not talking about malkut and mamon, it's talking about mita, death and malkut. Because Rabbi Meir doesn't need the case of malkut and mamon, because he says they're liable to both. Utsricha, and we need both.
Put it in the mita, is that why?
It's like, it's, if someone is liable, let's say, to something, that it would be liable to both mita and malkut, so he would say that you only give the mita from the pasuk kedei rishato. So the Gemara explains, utsricha, and we need both cases. De'i ashmainan mita umamon. If we would have said only cases, the liability of death and monetary law, mishum dechada begufe vechada bemamone lo avdinan. Since one of them is a punishment in his body and one of them is in his money, so therefore we wouldn't do both because they're two different punishments. Aval bemita umalkut, but death and lashes. They're both in one's body. Death, the death penalty, and lashes, they both happen to the body. So I would have thought, Ema mita arichtahi v'na'avid bay. Right? Lashes is like one long death. So maybe I would have thought we give him lashes, and then we kill him. So we do both of them. That's why the Gemara said, no, we don't do that. We'd only give him the stricter of the two. Ve'iyashmain and mita umalkut. And if we would have only said the death penalty and lashes, the tarte begufe lo avdinan. We know that we don't do two punishments in one person's body. Aval mita umamon. But let's say it was a case of monetary and death and lashes. The chada begufe vechada mamone. One of the punishments is in the body. One of the punishments is in his mamon. Eman na avid be. I would have thought that we would give him both. Tzricha. That's why we need both of these cases to teach you that you only give the stricter of the two punishments and nothing more. Okay. Then we have a pasuk. We're going to bring a bunch of contradictions trying to contradict this point with different pasukim. The pasuk says, "V'lo tikhu kofer lanefesh rotzeach." So the Gemara says, "Lamali, why do I need this pasuk that you're not supposed to take a payment for the nefesh or the rotzeach, for the soul of the murderer?" So the Gemara says, "Why do I need that?" Da'amar Rachmana, the pasuk says, "Lo tishkol mamona minei v'tiftere mikatla." What that means is not to say that you shouldn't take money. And he won't, for the murderer, meaning he won't get the murder, you'll take the monetary. That's not what it's saying, meaning we already learned that. That's not what it's teaching us. What it's teaching us here is, lo tishkol mamona minei v'tiftera mikatla. Don't take monetary law and exempt him from his death penalty. Obviously, if he has death and monetary, we give him death. We give him the stricter one. What it's proving to us is don't take money in order to exempt him from his death penalty. Then we have another pasuk. Lo tikhu kofer lanus elir maklato. Don't take a fine in order, like a atonement of payment in lanus elir maklato for the person running to the ir miklat. He killed someone by accident, right? For someone who's fled to the city of refuge. So the Gemara says, why do I need that pasuk? Lamali. So he says, damar achmana lo. That one also is not saying, what it's trying to say is don't take money and exempt the person from having to go to Galut. It's not saying you only take one, don't take one over the other, meaning don't take money versus Galut. Rather, it's saying the person should go to Galut, don't take money in order to exempt him from his obligation to Galut. It's not a contradiction. Okay. Here, Rashi says in the pasuk of Loti Kofer Lanus, Kasaka Da'atach Lota Avid Beitarte. I would have thought what it's saying is don't do two punishments to the Lahoreg, Beshogeg Galut Umamon. Don't give him Galut and Mamon. That's not what it's saying. It's saying don't give him Mamon, don't take Mamon so that it exempts him from Galut. That's what it's saying. Okay? Continue. Vitrei Krai Lamali. Why do I need two psukim to really prove the same point? So the Gemara says, Chad Beshogeg, Vechad Bemezid. The pasuk about Galut is talking about killing by accident. The pasuk before that is talking about on purpose. So the Gemara says, "V'tzricha, I need both of them." Diashmain and mezid. If I would have only said on purpose, mishum dechamir isurei, because that is a very big violation. Aval shogeg, the lo chamir isurei. But someone who did it by accident, it's not so strict. Emalo, I would have thought that really the galut would not exempt the person from mamon. That's why we say no. That's not the case. V'yashmain and shogeg. And if we say only the case of accidental murder, mishum the leka ibun neshama, and nobody's getting put to death over here. That's why you don't get the second punishment, right? Aval mezid, but by the case of someone who does it on purpose, the ika ibun neshama, that there is a loss of a soul, someone is being put to death. Emalo, I would have thought that no, we would not say that the person gets exempt from his payment. That's why we would say that. We need both cases to teach you that really, no, you only give him the stricter of the two punishments, and he would be exempt from the lesser of the two punishments. Okay. Then there's another pasuk. The pasuk then says, "V'la'aretz lo yichupar ledam asher shufach ba, ki im bedam shofecho." Says, for the land, it won't be atoned for the blood that was spilled until that person who spilled the blood, we spill his blood. So the Gemara says, "Lamali, why do I need that pasuk?" Okay, so Rashi says, "Velo bepidyon mamon lamali, milo tikhu kofer nafka." We learn this out from "lo tikhu kofer." You shouldn't take money. So, what? Obviously, to atone for the person's sin, he has to be put to death in order to atone for the sin. So the Gemara says, "Lamali mi ba'ile lechedetania." We need this for the Braita. Minayin sheim nita arfa egla aruf egla. How do we know that? We know the case of egla arufa. We have this case of an egla rufa. When someone dies in the city, the closest city would take an egla, take a cattle, or take an animal. They would go and slaughter in the place of the death. We don't know who killed the person, and it should be an atonement, right? And so the Gemara says, if nit arfa egla, the cattle was slaughtered, v'acharkach nimtza oreg, and then we find the murderer, minayin she'en potrinato. How do we know we don't exempt the murderer, even though we did that, we slaughtered the egla already? So the Gemara says, she'ne'emar v'la'aretz lo yichupar l'dam asher shupach ba. It has to be atoned for with spilling the blood of the person who killed. So therefore, he has to receive the death penalty. So that's what this pasuk is for. So the Gemara then says, "Ve'ata tevaer hadam naki mikerbecha lamali." Why does it say you have to, tevaer, have to burn the dam, the blood, and naki mikerbecha? Why do we need that pasuk, right? The way Rashi says, "Batar arifaktiv." This is referring to after the egla rufa was done. We know that you have to put the person to death even after the egla rufa if you find the murderer. So why do we need this pasuk? We need this for the baraita. How do you know the people who get put to death by saif, by beheading, that it's by the neck? How do we know that punishment is through the neck? So the Gemara says, we learn it out from here. So he says, what do we learn from the pasuk? We learn out a connection between all the murderers to Egla Arufa. Just like Egla Arufa, we slaughter the animal from the neck. So to a murderer, he gets put to death by the neck. So the Gemara says, so maybe we would say, just like the Egla gets killed with an axe, and from the back of the neck, do we do the same thing for all the murderers? They get killed with an axe at the back of the neck. So the Gemara said, "Amar Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua." No, Amar Kra. The pasuk says, "Ve'afta le'reacha kamocha." The pasuk says, "Love your friend like yourself." Beror lo mita yafa. Even though we're putting the person to death for his murder, let's find a nice death to give to him. Don't murder him with an axe from the back of the neck. That's not a proper way. They would do it in a proper way from the front. I guess they would behead the person from the front. I guess that's a more proper way of putting the person to death. Okay, we'll stop there for today. Baruch Adonai Olam. Amen ve'amen. Shabbat shalom.